You're listening to The Pipeline Show with Dean Millard and Guy Flaming on Edmonton Sports Leader, TSN 1260.
We've been doing it all year long. A guest from HockeyProspect.com joins us here every week, a scout, to talk about some players for the 2016 NHL Draft. And today we're going to speak with Mick Partoni, who's based over in Switzerland. And we're going to hear from him and chat about five or six different players, including Clayton Keller, who looks like he's going to make Team USA for the World Junior Championship. And he's a guy we need to know for 2016 for sure. Top 15 pick, top 10 maybe. We'll ask Mick his thoughts on that. But here's Clayton Keller in action.
Keller, top of the circle. Keller, shot, he scores! Keller with the hat trick and the game winner! Good night, 56 seconds into overtime, and Keller gets the game winner.
As we're joined now by Mick Partoni. How are you tonight, Mick? Hello,
yeah,
Mick.
Fine, and
there we go.
Glad we were able to connect eventually.
Yes, I'm happy about that, too, and I apologize for the issues we had earlier. But we have you now, and let's start the conversation off with Clayton Keller. And you got to see him fairly recently, didn't you, in a Five Nations event?
Yeah, I did, and Clayton certainly didn't disappoint. I saw him live five or six times already back in April at the Under-18. He still put up the points on the scoreboard there, playing on a line with White and Bracco, if I remember correctly, but I thought his great skills were not on full display back then. Last month, the Five Nations, it was for sure different. Obviously, expected to play a bigger role this season with the Under-18 team, and he really stepped into it with impressive authority. He just took center stage and basically dominated that tournament. Was plus nine by the end of the tournament, and well above 60% in the face-off circle. He was just a level above the competition. Also got help from having Kiefer Bellows on his line, who I think complements his game really well. Obviously, he faced better competition back in April, but the improvements in his game were pretty clear nonetheless. I thought he was able to control the tempo of the game whenever he was out there, often even on the penalty kill. Was very quick getting up to top speed with the puck. I saw him drive the net more than I expected, to be honest, mm-hmm. which was a positive. Was more of a threat 1-1 as well. I scored two highlight real goals there out of the five he was credited with. So really impressive performance by him. Couldn't ask for more. And well, let's say I was not surprised when he was called by to the U.S. camp, because after that tournament, I was wondering how they're going to leave this guy out. I mean, it was that impressive in that tournament.
Well, he's not the biggest guy in the world, but it doesn't seem to slow him down at all. Is there an area in his game that you think is a weakness that he needs to address?
Well, if there is, it was not on display there in Switzerland. The two things you maybe you should stay away from with the under-20 team was that he had some shifts that were too long. Should have gone for a change instead of trying the creative plays at the end of the shift. That's where the few mistakes he made there happened. The other thing is he had some unnecessary penalties, but I'm sure he will pay more attention if he makes the under-20 team at the World Juniors.
Right. Let's move to Austin Matthews, who's playing professionally in Switzerland this year. You had a chance to watch him play so far?
Yeah, of course. I watched him live more than a couple of times, let's say. He's already a pretty well-known player by now, I guess. So this is more of an update about his transition to the Swiss League. And the most recent news is Matthews' team, which is still at the top of the league, is coming off two straight losses. But no worries, they still had 2 points over those two games. As it's been well reported, he's been out injured in November, almost 4 weeks out of action, because of an upper body injury, which was apparently a back problem. I was there in Zurich for his first game back, and I saw he was a usual self there. Can really deceive the defensive coverage, the way he moves without the puck, quickly changing gears and directions while he reads the play and try to jump onto the puck. He just keeps making himself available in scoring areas, you know, by finding the open spots. And that game, it was the first back from the injury, and it was no different at all. So by now he has 14 goals in 22 games, and no other player in the league has been able to score at that pace. And when you watch him play, it's certainly not by case. It's not something I would expect to go down.
You mentioned his scoring. He has 1.14 points per game, and that would be third best in the league. Now, he's missed a little bit of time due to injury, but if he had played every game so far available, do you think he could be top five in league scoring as an 18-year-old?
I think he could, and as I said, he's already the best goal scorer in terms of pace, so... why not? It also depends on the line he keeps playing on. After a month into the season, he found very good chemistry with Robert Nilsson, a former first-rounder for the Islanders, with a very good passer, so he can find him when he makes himself available in the scoring areas. If Nilsson stays healthy, he has missed the last two games when they lost. If he stays healthy, that would certainly help him to be top five in scoring by the end of the season.
We're speaking with Mick Portoni from HockeyProspect.com. Mick, let's jump to a Finnish forward named Otto Mäkinen. And what can you tell us about him? I know we've had a scout earlier this season tell us a little bit, but what are your thoughts on Mäkinen?
Well, personally, I feel like Mäkinen is one of the most enigmatic players in Europe for this year's draft. If you see him playing some games where he showcases his talent, and then you look at his numbers in Finland, it's hard to match. It's hard to understand his underwhelming production there at the under-20 level. There was this game against Switzerland at the Five Nations where he had a hat-trick, 6 points. It was dynamic offensively. The following day, he played against the U.S. and he was completely flat, pretty much armless offensively. Now, obviously, it was a much better opponent, but I think it clearly went beyond it. It's like the jump he had the previous day was just nowhere to be found. He was playing a big role for Finland, which they didn't bring their A roster, so he was their number one centerman, playing a lot of heavy minutes. Against the U.S., it was the third game in 3 days. Finland had the best schedule, and they had to play 4 games in 4 days. So probably it's like his conditioning is not yet good enough to play three good games in 3 days. Maybe it was just that. The good thing is, even in the games he was struggling later in the tournament, he played a responsible game, was reliable defensively, often worked deep in the defensive zone. And as I said, in the first part of the tournament, he showed defensively he can make quick, smart passes. He can be a good playmaker, reads the game well. It's a weird kind of player because he has good vision. At the same time, he struggles sometimes with his shot selection. For example, he busted up a couple of great scoring opportunities going for backdoor passes instead. So it's a pretty difficult player to assess, but I think he has the alleged chance to eventually become a two-way center at the NHL level. just seems to me he often lacks energy.
And consistency. All right, let's go to Jacob Cederholm, a big defenseman from Sweden. We know his older brother Anton, who played in the WHL with the Portland Winterhawks. What can you tell us about Jacob Cederholm? His numbers suggest he's a pretty defensive-minded guy.
The interesting thing was that when his senior team needed help on their blue line back in October, Cederholm was the first call-up for HV71. He was called up by the Moverare. Maybe that affected my expectations going into the tournament a little bit, but at Five Nations I found his play a bit underwhelming, and it was pretty obvious who was the number one defenseman on Team Sweden, and that was not Cederholm. I think he's the type of player that immediately impresses you the first time you see him because of his tools, but the more closely you look at his game, the more it leaves something to be desired. Obviously, he has an impressive frame. He's a strong skater backwards, especially for a guy his size. He has a long reach, and he does make good use of his stick defensively, so he takes full advantage of his reach. And when you put those things together, you get a defenseman that is really good one-on-one and hard to beat off the rush. I think that's perhaps his main strength. He can also be physical here and there. Where my excitement vanishes is his play with the puck. I think right now he doesn't look like a player willing to make plays on the other side of the rink. To me, his hands look at the average at best. I thought that was pretty obvious when he saw time on the second power play unit. He can take the slap shot when he's given time and space, but he kind of struggled to make plays on the offensive blue line. The good thing is he does a good job at keeping things simple, so his current limitations are not always apparent. I was expecting for more, for sure. Want to sound too negative because there are obviously things to like here, but talking a fairly highly rated prospect, I'd like to see his play with the puck improve before I spend the top two rounds picking him.
He said he might not be the best defenseman on his own team. I wonder if that might be his teammate, Jacob Mauvert, excuse me. Tell us about him. We're almost out of time, though, if you could kind of give us the Coles notes on Mauvert.
I do think it was pretty obvious. It was Sweden's number one defenseman there. He was up there as their first option in all key situations. Was paired pretty much always with Adam Tillander, who was clearly the appointed shooter on the power play, but when necessary, Moverare was able to work along the defensive blue line to find lanes in order to get it back on net himself. Speaking of special teams plays and key situations, there was a 5-on-3 penalty killing against the U.S. where he had three block shots in a row that literally kept his team in the game in the third period. Other than that, the thing I like is usually makes good reads. He's quick recognizing lanes for the outlet pass. Was consistently good at executing the breakouts. And he's also a guy that can make some smart plays with the puck too. I really like how he's able to use his body to buy himself time and space. That paired with good hands and puck control is what I think allows him to often complete plays in tight space and or under pressure, usually to start the play up from the back end, you know. What hurts his ranking is his skating, because he moves pretty well laterally, but his first two steps clearly lack explosiveness, and his straight-ahead speed is below average as well. So adding some power and explosiveness would help to improve his acceleration, I think, and to get first on loose pucks, for example.
Right.
That's the main thing he will need to work on to moving forward to try to make the NHL eventually.
Well, Mick, we appreciate your assistance today in breaking down some of the players we need to know for 2016. We'll do it again this later on this year.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Bye.